All right, we are back at Bridgestone Arena on the ice. We have one more, and I mean, look, what way to end this that has been fantastic? David Poile, the only general manager that this franchise has ever known, the outgoing general manager, which I'm going to have to get used to saying that, as I'm sure you're going to have to get used to hearing that. But before we start this, I'm going to get my thank you out of the way. You have been so incredibly nice to me as a young broadcaster, as I've grown into this role as now program director of the flagship station. You were one of the first people to congratulate me, and you'll never know how much that meant to me. So, I've always tried to be fair. I know I may ask questions you don't always like, but I try to be fair, and I really appreciate you. And thanks so much for what you've done for the city I grew up in.
You're very welcome. I was hoping that phone call I made to you wouldn't give me the hard questions anymore, but that didn't change. No, just kidding. No, you guys have been great. Everybody's been very, very fair in Nashville. It, you know, it comes a little bit with the territory and the winning, the losing, the passion, all that stuff. I get that. Nobody loves it in terms of, you know, when you get criticized, but you know, this is the job, and everybody, you know, let's put it this way. If there was no criticism or no interest, then you and I wouldn't be having this conversation today. Yeah. And the Nashville experiment wouldn't have taken place, but it's all turned out to be just fabulous. Eh? 25 years, boy, did that go fast. It really went fast. But as I've said, I did have a vision when I came here of what I wanted. I think it's really important. I have goals all the time. I write down goals, things like that. But as I sit here today, this was my vision of how it would be in terms of the what I hope people think is a successful franchise, a strong franchise, a franchise that's going to be here for a long time, because those that have been here for a long time remember that wasn't always the case, and that the team almost moved. You know, changes in ownership, you know, just a lot of things that needed to happen and to be handled in this franchise. So I love it. I love it. I made the right choice coming here, and I got to have my fingerprints on everything that's happened here, either good or bad. Can't ask for more than that.
David, why do you believe that now is the right time for you to turn the keys of the car over, so to speak, to somebody you know, but you know, even before you knew Barry was going to be the one, when you talked to Sean and you talked to ownership and you said, I think this needs to be it, why do you feel like now is the right time?
Well, I always wondered when the right time would be. And I, you know, like I've asked some of them, my mentors, older guys, have been, how did you know? And 90% of the time it was to get fired. So that was not the right time. You know, everybody's been very nice to me in terms of, you know, the ownership, and you know, I guess they feel I've done a decent, you know, job to this point. And just so it probably goes back to, the correct answer would be, starts personally. I think, you know, I'm getting up there a little bit. You know, wife has been to lots of games in her career, I mean thousands of games, and you know, we have grandchildren. I mean, I've heard other people say that's in retirement, and you know, there's a lot of things that we would like to do that we haven't had time. I mean, hockey really does get in the way of your life, you know. And same as a lot of people that have had some degree of success, I've missed a lot of things. I get a second opportunity with grandchildren to do more things, and so that weighed a lot into it. And then, you know, I don't like believing that everybody has a shelf life, but you know, this pro sports things just change a lot. And I mean, I feel good. I'm lucky I have my health, all that. But I just started to feel like, you know, 8 years of making the playoffs, very proud of that in a row. But we're just in this middle, and we have to, you know, basically claw our way to get to the playoffs. And then we are not having any success in the playoffs because we weren't good enough. And we need to take a step backwards to take a couple of steps forward. And that's, I think you realize that. That's what my plan is, and you've seen a couple of trades in the last couple of days that reflect that. So that's really it in a nutshell in terms of, you know, what I thought. And again, I think you get energy when there's a change. If there's a coaching change and if there's a trade or whatever, you always get energy. And so if you change somebody at the top, which is the general manager, I think we're going to get a boost from that, from in a lot of ways, and it's going to carry over to it's going to start right away with the season, and it's going to carry over to next year because Barry's going to make some changes that he wants to make.
It was interesting, you know, the last 48 hours in particular, you've known that this day was coming. Barry has known it, and there were a couple of big trades made, as you mentioned, and not easy decisions, right? I'm curious how you guys, was he sort of helping you collaborate at that point?
I mean, I've been in touch with Barry every day for the last month, I would say, at least, and that got ramped up to, like, yesterday, maybe, well, 10 times, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
just interesting day.
The way I've been working this situation is we got a thread between Barry and the three assistant general managers and myself, so we're in constant contact. And
well, I bet that's fun.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And I told him that I'm passing the torch to you, so this is what I think, this is what we've been talking about. You know, Jeff Kelty weighed in, Scott weighed in, Brian weighed in, and we went through lots of things. So we've been talking on a daily basis to get to this point. I mean, when you get to, say, in a specific trade, so let's say Tanner Jeannot, you know, we weren't actively trying to trade him, but he was sought after by a lot of teams. And again, all things equal, you'd probably want to keep Tanner, but we have to make certain decisions, and we wanted to get certain assets. So when we're offered the 5 picks from Tampa Bay, which is a pretty decent reward, we just felt that reflected the assets that we're looking for to as part of our plan. So what I mean by that as a finished product is what I really believe we have in place going forward is now we got the draft equity and for 3 years, and the farm club is getting filled up, and next year we will have at least 4 first round picks in Milwaukee. So I can envision the plan. I hope the fans can envision the plan, but it's coming up, and now we just have to, you know, figure out what we're going to do with our rest of the roster.
Yeah, and one thing that I think a lot of people are curious about too is it's so natural. You see Barry, you and he are talking. When he's up there, there's still so many people, Terry Crisp and mm-hmm. Jerry Helper. But I think a lot of people are really curious about bringing ideas from the outside as well to blend them with the way he was taught by you, brought up through, as you called it, you give him credit for the predator way, right? But that's valuable things to work for a guy like a Lou Lamoriello, or, you know, how they did things in Washington as well.
Yeah, I think it's I like everything about it because it's like, you know, you love your kids or what have you, but you send them off to college, and when they come back, it's like to mom and dad, wow. They've really grown up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually smart now. No, that type, I don't know if that's a good analogy or not, but that's exactly what's happened here. And again, you know, talking to Barry in the summer, and I thought for sure he was going to coach again. I think he probably did it that period of time. But, again, we had all the things going for us in the right direction, meaning that he wanted to be in Nashville. His family wanted to be in Nashville. This is going to be where he retires regardless of what he was going to do, and that kept, the longer he put off the coaching opportunities and we kept talking, it just made more and more sense. So like I said, for me it's like the closure of a book, and you know, it's a very happy ending, if you will, for Barry coming back. It really feels full circle to me. I couldn't even think who else would I have hired if if somebody like Scotty Bowman was available. Yeah. I mean, I say, oh, but Barry's the right fit, you know, yeah. type of thing.
David, thanks so much for doing this. I hope this isn't the last time before you officially walk away as general manager, but it's been a pleasure to do this with you, and best of luck. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's really been good. Like I said, everybody's treated me really well, and you know, from the media standpoint, as I said in my remarks, I mean, you guys have really been good to connect the, you know, the players and the fans and get the message out and, you know, make us relevant. That wasn't always the way it was. So thank you guys very much.
David Poile, Predators general manager, joining us. Caroline, I send it back to you.
Appreciate y'all. Good conversation with David Poile. And as we were listening to, were you laughing about T-Face?
Well, because David, the analogy, he even said, well, this may not be a good analogy about Barry Trotz and, you know, leaving and where his kids leaving.
Right.
And he come back and say, oh, you're smart now.
you grow and change. Oh, he's a new man. Oh, man. He is a new man. But we were talking about the break, and I think it's a question that a lot of us have asked ourselves, and it's, you know, why now? The timing now. And David Poile has mentioned several times, you know, this has been a process that's been in the works for the past few years, and I don't doubt that. Mm-hmm. I think when you've been at it for as long as David Poile has been at it, mm-hmm. I think once you get to a certain point in your career in which David Poile is at, and especially given the circumstances around the team, after, you know, firing Peter Laviolette in the middle of the 2019 season, coming off of, you know, the highest of highs that this franchise had ever seen in 2017 on the Cup run, 2018, the President's Trophy team, of him asking himself, okay, where do we go from here? Because I'm sure at the point where David Poile is in his life and his career, I don't think he wanted to oversee a rebuild. So I'm sure that this has been a process, or at least a thought in the back of his mind over the last few years. He said the last 3 years this has been a process. That retirement has probably been in the back of his head over the past few years. I don't doubt that in the slightest, and I don't blame him in the slightest. But I've asked myself, why now? Why decide to make the announcement now? Why, after contemplating retirement or this being in the works or this being a part of the plan over the last 3 years, why step away now? And I think now he's at the point where he doesn't want to oversee a rebuild. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't want to completely, you know, sell off a lot of his assets, two of which have been traded away yesterday, and, you know, Niederreiter and Tanner Jeannot, that he didn't want to oversee that rebuild. Mm-hmm. Don't blame him in the slightest. But I interpret this, and this is just completely my own opinion and evaluation of the franchise and where it's at right now, is they made the announcement last night because they wanted to almost show the fan base, mm-hmm. like, hey, there's a change coming. That after all of these moves were made of, okay, you're trading away Tanner Jeannot, you traded away Nino Niederreiter, it's very obvious that the Predators are selling. I don't think that they're quite done yet. I wouldn't be surprised to see a few moves come down the pipe. I have seen a whole lot of chatter on Twitter about the Oilers' interest in Matthias Ekholm. Mm-hmm. And as David Poile has expressed, they'll pick up the phone about anybody. And as we saw over the weekend, they were pretty bold. So they are very obviously selling. So with all of the conversation along with the selling, I think the natural conversation would be, okay, how then what about David Poile? What comes next for David Poile? How far is David Poile going to be overseeing this quote-unquote, I don't want to use rebuild, but let's just use rebuild just for lack of a better word. So I think that this is the team's way of saying, okay, you know, we're making all of these moves, and mm-hmm. David Poile is one of them, and almost just kind of, you know, taking the focus off of David Poile moving forward and knowing, okay, hey, there's going to be bigger changes along with just selling.
Yeah.
That's just how I interpret the timing, because the timing is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. Let's call it what it is, because it's not a bad thing. It is a sort of a rebuild for this team.
Yeah.
You know, you trade away two guys, one being a young guy that has been playing well, in Tanner Jeannot. You trade away Niederreiter. As well, and there possibly will be other moves that are going to be made. You change the GM. So, yeah, this is sort of a, you know, and obviously we will see more moving forward, mm-hmm. Whether it be before the trade deadline or after the trade deadline heading into the summer. Mm-hmm. There's going to be more moves being made. Obviously, a new GM coming in, he's going to want, you know, to put his stamp on this roster. Whether, and I'm sure it's not all going to be this calendar year, but moving forward, it started with the trades early, and I'm sure he had to have some input on that, because he's going to be ultimately taking over the team. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he has some input on the trades that were made, you know, the other day. But moving forward, he's going to want this franchise to have his stamp on it. So it almost is a rebuild in a sense.
Yeah.
Yes, there are core guys that are going to be here, but honestly, it's because of contracts that they're going to be here for the most part. And I'm not talking about, you know, guys like Soros or Forsberg or Yossi. I'm talking about other guys that are under contract. They're probably under contract in here, you know, because their contracts can't be moved. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be a complete, you know, tear down or complete
rebuild.
You're
going to have Duchesne and Johansson moving
forward. There's going to be a lot of movement in the next, let's say, 5-6 months with this organization.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls and your texts on that. But with the changes at general manager, some pieces being traded away, again, you know, Niederreiter and Tanner, you know, for a freaking haul over the weekend, a jaw on the floor kind of haul, what other changes could come in the Barry Trotz era? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your phones. And, hey, the Preds have a game tomorrow night, and it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow night at 8:45 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.